events as well. If you have your Bible, take it and open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to dig into really just one verse today. And we're going to touch on different ones as well. But we're really going to dig into one verse in a very simple, straightforward, yet powerful phrase. I'll say that much. Phrase. As we continue our little short series here in August, Great Invitations in Scripture, this morning it's an invitation to remembrance. To remember. There's remembering, and then there's really remembering. We use that word a lot. You know, do you remember? Remember me. Not just recalling, but with the memory, you know, you can remember where there comes this world of emotion and response when you remember something, when you recall something. You know, you're out on a first date with a young lady you're really trying to impress. Or flip it around if you like. You're out on a first date with a young man you're really trying to make an impression on as well. And, you know, you're at the restaurant and you bump into a young woman who immediately recognizes you. And she says, "Remember me?" And you're there with your date or something, or you're on your honeymoon or something like that, and you bump into an old flame. You know, "Remember me?" And that's just not, you know, that's why I say there's remembering and then there's remembering. And it takes on just different shades of meaning compared to, you know, you might ask the store clerk, you go back to the hardware store, you were just there in the morning and you had to go back and something, a part just wasn't quite right, and you go back and you say, "No, do you remember me? I was here this morning." Well, that's different again, isn't it, than what I just described? There's remembering and then there's remembering. There's the thief on the cross to look at it and to begin to explore in Scripture. One of the thieves crucified with Christ came to faith and put his faith on him even while he was on the cross. And what did he say? "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." Different again from the two I've just mentioned. And it has these various shades of meaning. And you might be a good rememberer. Sorry for the bad grammar. Or you might be a poor rememberer. Just in terms of recall and remembering past events. This morning in our little series, you know, these great invitations in Scripture continues, we're considering remembering the table before us. I know it's covered with the cloth, but it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." What exactly does that term involve and bring for us as we come to a table of remembrance? And Jesus says through Paul, you know, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we're going to be looking at that passage in 1 Corinthians 11 as well. Well, the passage we're looking to this morning in 2 Timothy 2, we're looking at in the form of an invitation rather than, you know, a command or something with that form. We'll look at it invitationally. Paul says to Timothy in verse 8, take a look at it with me. This is the phrase, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel." Paul's writing to Timothy, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel." And we're going to mull that phrase around and pick it apart a little bit. At first glance, it sort of seems like something rather basic, almost pedantic, you know, like, "Now don't forget about Jesus." As if, well, how can I forget about Jesus? I'm not going to forget about Jesus. How can I forget about him? Well, no, people forget about Jesus all the time. You can forget about him during the day even. You know, you kind of think of him in the morning, you think about him at noon, you think of him during prayer times, and then, oh yeah, have I thought really much about Jesus today? But beyond that, people can really forget about Jesus all the time, as opposed to remember Jesus. And we're going to look at that term remember and what it really involves. So the blessing or the purpose of remembering, we just got some notes on the back of the bulletin there. There's not too much really to fill in unless a thought comes to mind. I've tried to capture a lot there. But is there a blessing and a purpose in remembering? Remember, it has different forms and different contexts. Here's the deal. I think we are primarily, I believe we are what we remember. Our memories are crucial to us. Because when we talk about remembering, we're talking about memory, correct? Memories and your capacity to memory. What we really remember, it forms us, and it has formed us. It has changed us. It determines where we go, and it guides us, and it directs our days. Our memories. If you had no memory of anything, you would not exist, really. You couldn't remember to tie your shoes or feed yourself. You have to have memory of something. But there are huge, I think, problems and pitfalls associated with our memory and our remembering. Because our remembering it's constant. It's ongoing work. We're always working on that. We never get a holiday from remembering and working on our memory. At times it's very hard work. There's great purpose in it. Our memories really compose who we are. I am a collection of memories and things learned and things I continue to remember. So are you. And I also believe our memory needs, in varying degrees, constant remedial input. All the time. Remember, remember, remember. And at times, relearn. Retest, reapply. You just don't learn something once and there. I learned that back in 1982 and I'll never have to learn it again. No, we go over that again and again and we learn, we relearn, we refresh ourselves. One of my profs in school, I still remember this, probably 1982, he said, review, review, review. And this was, I don't know, Old Testament survey, very content oriented. And when you're done reviewing, review some more. Just review, review, review. And if you really want to learn something, this isn't a memory aid course today, but if we were to look at that, and we'll look at a little bit of this, you know the power of review. You've all had to learn something and to study something, and we are people who study this book and learn this book, and we're constantly doing that. The point here being, there's stuff you need to study over and over and over, and even when you think you have it, you still have to study it some more and study it some more. And I'm going to study that again, and I'm going to go deeper, and maybe I've forgotten that. We have problems with our memory, especially in the matter of understanding God's Word and our knowledge there and applying our knowledge and understanding God's Word and God's will. We realize that people need to learn and relearn constantly. Now, there's some things we should really get down pat, but a lot of the time, we're just going over stuff all the time. So, point number two here, there is work in remembering. Remembering is work. Some people find it fairly easy. I've heard of people before that have photographic memories. I saw a documentary once on a lady down in the United States, and she remembered everything she saw or did her whole life. She could not forget anything, anywhere, ever. Well, she's like one in probably 6 billion. The rest of us forget, and things come and things go. And work is, or remembering is work. Some people pride themselves on a good memory. Do you like to pride yourself on a good memory? Do you like to maybe show how much you remember from time to time? Do you have a good memory? You kind of nod if you think you have a good memory. So-so memory, you know, 6 out of 10. Quick memory test here. Let's try this out. There's a phrase in Scripture. Actually, it's verse 9. I noticed it as I was preparing this. Right after this passage here. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. For which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything. And he goes on, he says, and I endure everything for the sake of the elect. But that phrase there, but God's word is not chained. Another translation of that is, God's word is not bound. There's a place over in Europe where that phrase appears. And it's written all over the place. I talked about this a while ago. Do you remember where the place is where that phrase, God's word is not bound? Do you remember where that appears? Anyone remember where that appears? It's over in Italy, in Rome. Underground Rome are the catacombs. Do you recall that phrase? God's word is not bound. Anyone remember that phrase? We talked about that. If you remember that, you're going back to a series in January of 2011. A little bit of a memory test. God's word is not bound. That phrase appears over 300 times written on the walls of the catacombs. Let's see if you remember that. God's word is not bound, and it was written there by early churches during the early persecution of the church and after the church was dispersed, written on the walls of the catacombs, buried underneath there. Over 600 graves there, and believers met there for many, many years. Memory. Do you pride yourselves on a good memory or not? The word of God is not bound. I love that. The truth of the word of God is, when it's properly understood, it's designed to grip us and grab us, and it draws us in and it touches us deeper than anything else can. It's worth the work of remembering. The same memory is sort of like a child walking along the shore of a sea or a beach, something like that. And it's like you never know what they're going to pick up and hold on to and just sort of stick in their pocket and keep. Memory is sometimes like that. Some things stick, some things don't stick. Why remember? Why is it so powerful here? Why is it so important? It's said that politicians count on people having bad memories about every 4 years. They count on people having a bad memory. You ever heard that? That you'll forget the promises made and then broken, and then they can make a whole new fresh batch, maybe 3 or 4 years down the road. And it's like, but haven't I heard this before? Didn't you talk about this last time? Are you running for election again? And they count on you sort of having this bad memory thing going on. We've often thought about that, about the gentleman who's in the leadership of our province of Ontario here. Counting on having a bad memory every 4 years. And yet, year after year, they get into office. They say if you want to test your memory, really, try to recall what you were worrying about 1 year ago today. Do you think you might have been worrying about something? What was that a year ago today? I really don't know. And it would take a lot of work to try to remember that. They say a third of your brain is occupied with memory keeping, this remembering stuff. And the other, two-thirds do a variety of things, hopefully something. But one-third is just dedicated to memory. And you want to exercise that. It's going to be work, but it's going to be worthwhile. Why do I want to remember? I've noticed, we noticed this a while ago. I don't think we've worked on them for a while, just at our house, but with these little games, they call them Nintendo DS dual screen. There was a game we started to play for a while. It was called Brain Age, and it was designed. You ever seen those little brain games that are designed to strengthen what's going on in here? You ever tried a Brain Age? It's just maddening, but it's designed to get you to strengthen your mind and what's going on in it, because you can do that. You can strengthen your memory. You can strengthen the things you remember. Memory, it's supposed to be powerful. God's people in Scripture are always called to remember. Why? Well, memory is knowledge connected to understanding, I think. Memory fuels obedience. This is where we're going with this morning. Memory is going to fuel our obedience. We're called to remember, and it's going to be remembering actively, at times actively with ceremony. That's why we enjoy this every month. It's actively remembering with a little bit of a ceremony attached to it. And you'll remember things because of that. It's got action attached to it. Did you remember your wife's birthday? Did you remember your husband's birthday? That's probably not too hard. But husbands, did you remember your wife's or your birthday? Did you remember your anniversary? Things like that. Then you probably would have acted in a certain way if you did remember. It's no good to say, yeah, I remember my birthday, but well, what did you do about it? Well, I didn't do anything about it. Well, then you really didn't remember your wife's birthday, did you? If you really remember, you'll do the card thing. You'll stop and pick up some flowers at the corner. You'll do something. If you really remembered. Memory is attached to activity. They work together. So then, what do we remember? We've looked at some the work of it and the why of it, what to remember. It's more than just recall. Something that memory is recall, and I remember that. I'm going into a test, and I want to recall. I want to be able to regurgitate what I've learned, and so I can just produce it on the paper. I can answer the questions asked. Well, scripturally and practically, remembering is more than just recall. It's life lessons. You review and you reflect, and there's a lot to remember. We learn, and we realize there is content to learn, but there's going to be activity involved in it as well, life lessons, and there's actions involved with that. What remembering can involve? That's on your sheet there. This is where it gets a little more practical. What does memory involve? And in Scripture in particular, what does remembering involve, if you were to respond to this invitation? Do you need memory aids when you need to remember things? Do you need to get a little bit of a game or something to strengthen your memory? I'm someone who needs memory aids, as in I write things down. How many of you work from lists and you need to have your lists? Honestly, how many of you need lists? I need lists. I write it down. If it's not written down, it didn't happen. I don't rely a lot on just what is in my mind. Calendars really help me. We live by calendars. It's been said that memory is what tells a man that his wife's birthday was yesterday. Mark Twain said a man with a clear conscience probably has a poor memory. We write things down, and we need some aids to help us, and there's no shame in that. It's an active process. We work through it. We work through it carefully. We work through it consistently. I've always been someone to write things down. Some people don't, and they pride themselves on not having to do that, or whatever. You journal it. You log it. Do you have your own little memory aids? You know, anything from wristbands to things tied around your finger to whiteboards to chalkboards to whatever helps you remember. But it is work. And you've probably studied the differences between short-term memory and long-term memory. And you can study that all over, and you'll find a lot of different sectors to study that thing. The common word for remember in Scripture, here's where we pick apart this verse a little bit more carefully, means to, and it can be translated, bear in mind. Bear in mind or keep in mind. Because the word occurs frequently in Scripture. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. God remembered Noah on the ark. God remembered Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. God is remembering people, and we are called to remember as well. Bear in mind, keep in mind. Improving your memory probably isn't all that difficult as we understand the work of it. We just need to expend the effort and the time required. The true art of memory, wrote one English historian, is the art of attention, giving attention to something. We simply put our minds to it and we follow some simple rules. Number one, remember to remember. This isn't in the notes. Remember to remember. It takes work. You learn to remember. Tell yourself, I want to remember this fact, and you concentrate on it. You know, that's liable to improve your memory immediately. You have to work at it, and you will succeed. We remember what we want to remember. You can sharpen your observation. This is huge. Pay close attention to what you see and what you hear, especially in Scripture. Use imagery if you need to. I write notes in the margin of my Bible. I want to remember what I've studied. I want to know where I've been in Scripture. So I have often when I study, I'll have a pencil and a highlighter all the time. I don't want to study the Bible without a pencil in my hand. I want to remember. I have that. I want to sharpen my observation. I pay attention. I work at it. Sometimes when you're memorizing something, you'll need to visualize it as well. This is just general memory. Shut your eyes. Try to see it. Notice details. Really look at things. Few people actually do that, though. They expect to remember without working at it. It's funny how it works. But thirdly, practice recall. Forgetting is most rapid soon after hearing. I would encourage you to try to remember some of what we're talking about today by remembering it this afternoon. If you remember it on the hour for 2 hours, you know, that recall will be better. That's why we put notes in the bulletin so you can try to remember and recall things that you've spent some time studying. It makes a difference. It helps. Repeat and review immediately. I was coached to do that. Review. And when you're done, review some more. And the sooner you can do that, the better. And repetition helps fix facts and images in our mind, no matter what age. Fourthly, concentrate. Eliminate distractions. The mind is best when it's centered on one thing at a time. True. I don't know. Our kids have often studied with, you know, music on or something else in the background. I know some people need that. I heard James Dobson talking about that, and he says, I can't study in a quiet room. I need something on to sort of break the silence. Maybe you're like that, but that doesn't mean you're not focused on one thing at a time. Especially when we're studying the Word. You know, when I do that in the morning or sometimes in the evening, I focus on that, and that's all I do. I don't try to multitask when I'm studying the Scriptures. I just study this, and I focus on this, and I spend good time doing that, and I want to eliminate distractions. Nothing in my ears, nothing in my eyes. That's just what I need. Focused, undistracted, one thing at a time. That way it's not competing. There's no images competing for what I'm trying to learn. So some components, sort of, I'll call these just components and dynamic memories. And these are fairly basic, they're not overly complicated, but they're real, and they apply to spiritual life lessons like they apply to anything. And the first one simply is, and I've got five sort of blanks in the notes there, facts. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Paul says, this is my gospel. There's really nothing complicated as we unpack this verse here. It's full of fact. It's full of truth. You've got to know the content of whatever you are studying, and you've got to know it thoroughly, and you've got to understand the language, and we can parse the verbs here, and I can tell you that remember is a present active imperative, second person plural, and, you know, it's good to know that, but I need to know the facts of what I'm studying. He was raised from the dead. Fact. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and we could spend all day, all week talking about the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. It's a fact. He's descended from David. It gives not only his divine lineage and his divine authority, but his human lineage as well, descended from David. And he was the king who was prophesied to come. And here he is. He's the king. And he came. Facts. There's feelings going to be associated with dynamic memory as well, remembering something. Maybe there's a time and a place when you first believed this, when this first struck you and touched you. Do you remember where you were when certain truths were really driven home with you? You might associate that even with sights and smells and sounds as well. You know that sound and smell are associated with memory. You know there's connections there. Smell is a tremendous trigger of thought and memory. So is sound as well. You hear a song on the radio, and immediately it takes you back to another time, another place. Has that ever happened to you? Or you smell a certain smell and it takes you right back to your grandmother's kitchen. You know, memory is like that. And God designed it to work that way, very holistically. There's experience associated with dynamic memory as well. You know, if you've, you know, experienced something and maybe you've taught it, boy, the memory, the recall is so much more enhanced after you've taught something, you've experienced it. Beliefs are formed eventually, and beliefs, by this I mean like they're personal beliefs, they're my beliefs, they're just not what I've inherited. I've made my beliefs mine. I was basically a first-generation Christian. I didn't really inherit anything from parents or grandparents in terms of a belief system. Are you a first-generation believer? So what you believe is really yours, and it's personal, and it's powerful, and it's meaningful. Belief and memory, it has to have that content. Memory, is the mother of all wisdom. Connects things together. Because we're leading to the last one here, number five, actions. Belief. Memory is very action-oriented, not just recall, but it's actions. To remember in Scriptures, to take compassion. It's to take loving action on behalf of another. We see that in Scripture. I mentioned Noah and Hannah. And God remembered Noah in the ark. Well, what does that mean? You know, they were on the ark for, you know, 40 days, 40 nights. And Scripture simply says in the early chapters of Genesis, in Genesis 6, that God remembered Noah. It says, like, oh yeah, Noah. No, he remembered and he took action. And it's the scriptural way of expressing that God was very involved there. Remembering is active. And God remembered Hannah. And Hannah was pleading with God in the temple for a child. And God remembered Hannah. And God answered. The phrase is simply, he remembered her. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember him. What happens if we don't remember? Interesting little passage here. We'll look at it just for a minute. Mark chapter 8. I get you just to flip to this one passage. Mark chapter 8. Christ is spending some time with the disciples here. And they should have remembered something. They didn't remember it. Mark 8. 14, just down to 21. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed with one another and said, "Is this because we have no bread?" Aware of their discussions, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you not have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did we pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves and for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 7. Then he said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Sort of, he's getting very rhetorical with them. You should have learned these lessons. Haven't you learned it? We are held accountable for things we're supposed to learn. Are we having to teach you this over again? You know, and he's prodding their memory. You should have learned this by now. Memory, that's knowledge connected to understanding. It fuels obedience. Memory fuels obedience. There's one of my little phrases. I wrote that down. Memory fuels obedience. Show me a man, show me a woman who struggles with obedience to Christ, and you'll most likely find a man who is lost, who has let his knowledge and his understanding slide a bit. He's just forgotten stuff. Just let it slide. Yeah, I learned that back in 85, or I learned that in 98, but I just sort of let that slide. And before you know it, there's obedience issues there. And they're just not following. You let it slide. Lifelong learning isn't an option. Paul is saying to Timothy, you know, basically in this whole passage, if we were studying it more thoroughly, in 2 Timothy 2, he says, look at Timothy, you know, your service will be more aggressive. You will have greater courage. You will have greater boldness. You will have greater endurance in terms of suffering for my name, which you're, by the way, going to need. You will need that endurance if you remember. Remember. You know, you remember who I am. You remember my preeminence, where I've come from, who I really am, God incarnate, the resurrection I have accomplished. If you remember those things, you will have all these greater capacities. When you remember Christ your Savior, you will carry yourself differently, and you will represent him wherever you go with inspiration. You'll be an inspiration to people. If you walk through your week remembering whose you are and who you lived before and who you're accountable to, don't you think you'll act differently? Don't I think I will act differently if I just remember that all the time? Remember, remember. I have this little picture of Jesus, whatever, it's obviously conceptual, but it comes from a good source, and I've got it sort of stuck up on an inside wall in my office. Just did that recently, I thought, just for fun. I've never done that before. It just kind of gives me an impression, a funny little impression in the sense that I'm just before Christ all the time. It's before his presence, and I can never get away from it. I realize that more and more, you know, as I grow older in Christ. I never step out of that. It's one thing to be a pastor and to live in Christ's presence, and you think, can you ever get away from your role and ever step aside from that? And how do you go on holidays? How do you feel? And that's difficult in itself. But as a believer, I'm just before his presence always, always, always. It's like I'm at the Olympics, and I'm just always carrying that flag representing my country. You've been watching the athletes this week. you know, and it's Canada on their clothing, or they're waving the flag or something, and I'm there to represent Canada, and that's why they're there. And they never forget that for those 17 days. We live that way in Christ. I live for Him always, 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 and I can never step aside from that. There's never a time when I don't bear that flag for Him. That's the difference, remembering. Now that's remembering. See what it means? It's not just, yeah, I remember I'm a Christian, yeah, and then you go on with your day. It's truly remembering. It's dynamic. And then lastly here, remembering sacrifice. And that's our little application. And that's why this leads to the table this morning as well. That's why we repeat this memorial time over and over and over. We do it every month. Some church traditions do it every week to remember. It's essential. We are called to remember this. You can remember better. You can remember a lot of things probably better than you do. But if you don't realize now, it is obviously work. Yeah, you don't want to arrive at the end of your life. If you even see it coming and you know you're arriving at the end of your life, some people don't know they're even close to that. It just comes and there it is. But you don't want to get there and, you know, have regrets for the life you didn't live. Simply because, you know, you learn stuff, but then you really just forgot it. And there's a time I learned that and then I let it slide. And, you know, life's biggest, most important life lessons need to be learned and remembered over and over and over. Have you experienced that? Big lessons need to be learned over. And I learn it again, and I learn it again. How many of you are still learning prayer lessons, lessons in prayer, as example? I just learn them over and over. Any other big lessons you think, let's take a minute here, then we'll go to communion, that you've learned over and over and over, that you'd be willing to share with us just for a minute here, something I just keep learning about. What do you keep learning about? Just never quite learn that one, do you? It just comes and comes and comes. Anything else? You just keep learning over His promises. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's valuable for you to share because you're listening to one another now. It's one thing for me to talk to you. It's another thing for you to talk to one another. What do you keep learning? And just when you think you have it, it's like, well, here's a fresh lesson in this thing you think you've already got. You know, it's words like that. You know, submission, trust, promises. We keep learning those things. We just don't arrive. It's lifelong learning, and that's why we keep teaching and teaching here at Alta Vista, and why we'll run again a Bible school this fall, and we'll teach some things maybe we've taught before. Maybe they'll be fresh for some, and they'll be renewed for others. We're not afraid to do that and think, well, yeah, we taught that 10 years ago. No, we're going to go back over this again. And we're going to go back over this again. These are big issues and they're important. Because we just don't hang on to everything, do we? Do you remember all your grade 9 chemistry? Do you remember that? No. Do you remember your college economics courses? Do you remember those things? Do you remember those guitar lessons you took when you were 10? No. Things come and things go. And we learn constantly. God knows that. He knows that. And so too with Bible study and discipleship classes. We need constant review and repetition. But we have to remember the sacrifice of the cross, and that's what we're finishing with this morning. Its significance and how it has touched our lives personally. And we take time to do this every month. We take time to remember Jesus every day. My mother-in-law has a little devotional she loves to do. It's called Every Day with Jesus. Every day. Not 3 days a week. Not Saturday and Sunday. It's Every Day with Jesus. I like that. And then the phrase I mentioned earlier is a phrase that it's actually on the front of one of the devotional books I use. It's Latin. It's Coram Deo. Coram, C-O-R-A-M, Deo, D-E-O. It simply means before the face of God. I live all my days, all my hours, waking or not. My life is lived before the face of God and in His presence. And that's where I want to dwell, and that's where I want to abide. And this table here reminds us of that as we look at the table, as we look at 1 Corinthians 11. just have your Bible open to that this morning as we come to the table. And I encourage people from time to time just to have your Bible open on your lap during the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writes, starting down at verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" There's a whole lot of remembering that goes on here at the table to remember your path to Christ, your life in Christ, where you've come from, where you are, where you believe by his grace he's leading you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." There's the word. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, we want to be a people who remember well and by your grace who remember better. And we believe that we can do that, and we will do that as we work, as you strengthen. You've showed us, encouraged us. You've given invitations in Scripture to remember. And we can. We can remember what we work on, what we work at. And by your grace, as the Spirit of God, he brings things to remembrance, and we work together on this. Thank you for this passage and this time of memorial, which reminds us that we live our days in the shadow of the cross. We live our days with the power of Christ just infusing us, and we really live before his gaze. We can never get away from that. And that's a wonderful place to live. That's a place of blessing and delight and great security and joy. And it's a place of new life. And it's a place that we use to inspire others. But yet, Father, we're a forgetful people. And we come to this table here, perhaps today, to just recalibrate and just realign some things in terms of our memory and our remembrance of who we are in Christ. How do we come to this place? And where are we moving from here by your grace? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.